Welcome to the Rise Up Good Witch podcast, a radical approach to herbalism, self-care, and the tarot. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 59th episode of the Rise Up Good Witch podcast. This is Karina. So today we have the third segment of Plant Person Origin Stories, and I'm excited to share the stories of amazing plant people, Blanca, Kara, and Iruka. So I hope that everybody loves what they have to share. Make sure to check out their work, give them a follow. All three of these people actually have really amazing offerings. And pretty much anyone that I ask to do a plant person origin story, it's because I'm in awe of their offerings. But Blanca does some really amazing dream work stuff that I can vouch for. Blanca is a good friend of mine here in the desert, and they have helped me a lot with my dream work stuff. Kara, I hope to someday take a class from Kara because she is so well-versed in Italian folk medicine. And Iruka is kind of a genius in terms of essence and potion making. So please check out all three of these awesome plant people. And I want to open this episode again with just a moment of acknowledgement. Acknowledging the land that I'm on, in the Mojave Desert, the Chemehuevi people. I want to acknowledge the Wiat people because I'm from that land. That's the land that I was born on, but I'm not of that land. I'm not a native to that land, and that's language that I'm changing, is saying I'm not native to Humboldt County, California, but I was born there. And I just also want to take a moment and send some love and blessings and protection vibes to all the frontline organizers out there that are dealing with state-sanctioned violence, and sending love and protection magic to all Black folks who have to deal with state-sanctioned violence just because of their presentation and identity and the way that systemic racism works. And sending love to all the undocumented folks, sending love to all chronically ill folks. May you be protected against COVID and any other infectious disease. So I want to just send an abundance of love and protection that way. And I'm going to pull two cards, actually. I decided that. So just taking a minute to shuffle. I'm working with this new deck. It's called the Dreamweaver Tarot. And they all look like Polaroids. So just opening here with an offering. And I'm asking for spirit or whoever's present to just send us a message. What do we need to know? What's going to help us right now? Okay. Wow. So what I've got, this is super interesting. Last night I pulled the Page of Cups with the Two of Cups, and today what I'm pulling is the Two of Swords and the Three of Swords, which is interesting. So anytime you pull something that's sequential, anytime you have two cards in a row, even if it's different suits, but especially when it's the same suit, we have to think about progress and process and how it's moving us forward. And what I think about the Two of Swords is definitely about boundaries, about recognizing our limitations. But there's a warning in the Two of Swords, and that's always about getting caught up in the binary, in the black and white of things. And the Three of Swords, we know, is about a deep disappointment that we've internalized and placed blame on. And the fact that these two cards came up together, what I think has to happen, because on the full moon, each full moon on Patreon, I do a collective reading. And the one that I did this last full moon, I feel like was especially potent for me. And it's interesting to hear from my patrons about how certain readings sit with them. But the card that came out of the deck when I was shuffling at the full moon was the Judgment card. And Judgment's associated with Pluto, and it's the second to the last card in the major arcana. So when Judgment came out, what I really thought is that we're being called to shine this inner light on our deepest parts, our kind of most hidden parts. And I've been working on doing that. I've been working a lot about working on my communication, healing my attachment issues, healing my, you know, old stories that I've hung on to for way longer than I needed to. You know, you do the rituals, you do the protection magic, you let things go, and then they come back around because cycles are not linear. They're cycles. They're literally cyclical. So it's not uncommon for us to go through something and, you know, do the work, do the therapy, read the books, have the conversations, cry, process, and then feel like we're in a better place. And then just when we're not paying attention, this old pattern, this old habit comes along and rears its ugly head. And it's a test, right? Like, our whole existence is about tests. We're being tested by our ancestors. We're being tested by our own belief system. And this is spiritual work. So when I see the Two of Swords and the Three of Swords together, I know that I'm not alone with the fact that these have been difficult times. For me, the last week especially has been difficult because I think I'm a recovering workaholic. I'm not a recovering workaholic, double Capricorn. So for me, I've always kind of been like, go, go, go. And as I age, I'm getting closer to 40. I just can't do it the way that I used to. I have learning disabilities as dyslexia, ADHD. I think, you know, I was diagnosed with ADHD as a child. It was the 90s, you know, a lot of people were. And I'm not really a big fan of like diagnoses unless they serve you and they help you understand yourself. But I know that like for me, a big part of my process these last years has been unlearning workaholism. And the more work that I do in dismantling racism within myself and my communities, the more I recognize that my workaholism is a trait of white supremacy. So when I see like the Two of Swords and the Three of Swords together, what I think about is, you know, how hard we can be on ourselves in general. And I see that because it's such an internal thing, but I see it in other people. I see this struggle for folks to forgive themselves, the struggle of letting go. And one thing, I think, going back to the idea of Judgment coming up on the full moon, and that was an interesting full moon because we had the a T-square between the Leo Aquarius axis with Uranus and Taurus. So there was just like this boiling point, this pressure point. And right around them, we had the beginning of the Apple Fire, which is happening down where I'm at in Southern California. Pretty well contained at this point, but areas in which myself and my community lived in were under threat of evacuation. And there was a lot of smoke. A lot of people were dealing with inhalation problems, including myself. So, you know, I think we are being called constantly to shed, constant ego death, constant shedding, constant letting go. And that is a painful process. There is no way to make that process not painful. So I think Three of Swords especially, you know, Two of Swords is an ally for boundaries. Three of Swords is an ally for recognizing the ways that we take things on that we should not. It always makes me think of the quote by William Shakespeare, expectation is the root of all heartbreak. That is sort of what I associate with the Three of Swords. So I'm sending everybody lots of love. Remember to step up and do something, serve your community. I'm loving all the mutual aid work that's happening. We have to create these systems of lateral support. The creation of these is not going to be a fast, quick process. Again, urgency is a trait of white supremacy. The movements we're building are slow, but they're strong. So movement work has been happening forever, and it happens over time. And one thing that I think is like relational work is really important in movement work. And that's something I've been working on. Like I said, my attachment wounds, my traumas, my fears of abandonment, etc. You know, like things that a lot of us deal with. As a white person, me acting on those fears to communities I am involved with that are communities of color is an act of violence. So like putting our attachment wounds on people if we're white, that can become white fragility. So let's all just keep working on ourselves. And all that said, you know, I've been getting a lot of questions. When's the next Tarot Summer School? It's well into August now, and I'm doing the third session right now, and it's going really great. And I've been trying to decide if I want to put the class on a platform like Teachable, where folks can just buy it and download it. And I want to do that. But I also love being in community with folks, and the way that these classes have been, with 22 people per class, one for each major arcana card, it's been really great to just be in these Zoom chats and like have these conversations, even though, you know, I think if I teach another class, it's going to be a little bit longer because we never have enough time for everything that comes up and for all the questions. So those are kind of my plans. I plan to put the class online for folks that prefer it. I know a lot of learning styles, people don't want to be in a live Zoom chat, including myself. I struggle with being in a live Zoom chat. I joke with my friends that I've had 38 years to master being socially awkward in real life situations and only a few months to master how to be socially awkward in a Zoom chat. So it's harder for me, but my plan is that I will be teaching the class in the fall and changing the name to make it more not seasonally specific, so Tarot School for Liberation, because it is a radical, anti-capitalist, anti-colonial, anarchist, queer tarot school. It's not a tarot school that's apolitical by any stretch of the imagination, but what more could you expect from the Rise Up Good Witch platform? So the best way to find out about upcoming tarot school is to join the Patreon, and that's also the best way to support this podcast. You can go to www.patreon.com/riseupgoodwitch, and $5 a month will get you almost all the content that's up there. And it'll also get you 20% apothecary discount, and it will get you 25% discount on live tarot readings. So if you book a reading with me, that's like a face-to-face on Skype or Zoom. I also have a tarot new client package that includes a written report of like an astrological analysis that I've done based on some of your questions and a video reading. And that's not discounted by Patreon, but I do about 5 of those a month. And that's what I recommend for folks that haven't worked with me before. And that kind of like sets up a solid ground for us to start working together. Although if you book an hour or an hour and a half reading, I will look at your natal chart and we'll talk about your astrological chart as well. So I have a little bit of availability left this month. You can check it out, www.riseupgoodwitch.com. I've got some amazing potions. It's amazing because the plants are amazing. The plants worked through me. Blueberry oxymel, good grief peach oxymel, and I've got a rose protection spell that will be in the shop by the end of this week. So I want to thank everybody for your support, for the new reviews that are up. I'm not going to read any reviews this week, but we're inching closer to 200 reviews on Apple Podcasts. I love y'all. Y'all are awesome. Rating and reviewing the podcast on Apple Podcasts is like a really amazing way to get this work out to more people. I looked and just a couple weeks ago hit 100,000 downloads or 100,000 listens, I guess, which is bananas to me. I know that a lot of podcasts I listen to, they're like, we just got to 2 million listens. That is intimidating. I don't know if I want that many listens on my podcast. 100,000 is a lot. I mean, I was thinking about it and I really tend to compartmentalize because I love making this podcast. I love having these conversations, but I can't really deal with the fact that so many people are listening to this. As a kind of hermity, introverted, socially awkward person, it's awkward to know that so many people are listening, but I feel called to this work and I'm deeply grateful that it resonates. I'm grateful for all the people that get this work, for the people that decide to support this work on a monthly basis. Y'all are amazing and I'm doing it for y'all. So yeah, free way to support. Go to iTunes or Apple Podcasts, leave a 5-star review and a few words of support. Or if it's doable for you, joining the Patreon at $5 a month. Tons and tons and tons of content over there. So sending everybody lots of love in these pandemic uprising times. Remember, stay committed. Slow growth is important growth. Relational work is work. And smash the state.
My name is Blanca Estacy Villalobos, and I am recording this for my friend Karina for their podcast. Thank you, Karina, for inviting me to do this. It was interesting because when you first approached me about this project, about sharing plant origin stories, my first thought, like my headspace first went to mugwort, which is one that's, you know, which has been a plant ally for a long time for me. It feels like it has been for a long time, and I use it for various things. But then I started thinking about my mom, and also about how, even for myself, whenever I think of herbalism, it's still in a very, it's still kind of in, within a white Western way. And I think it's because of how much my own family, through generations have worked with plants, and how that isn't seen as herbalism. It's just seen as, you know, remedios, like home remedies, and it's seen as it's gardening, and it's not talked about it as like a, you know, I guess as herbalism or plant work or, you know, plant witches, all that kind of stuff. And so I thought I would go further back in my memory past when I met mugwort, because I met that plant and I was introduced to it medicinally, energetically, through a white-run herbalism program in the Pacific Northwest. So I went beyond that, and I started thinking about all the plants that my mom and my dad had when I was a kid growing up. And recently, I've been going to my parents' house in the Pass area in Southern California to not only not only support my sister, who was immunocompromised through these times, and beyond COVID-19, but, I've been spending a lot of time there also to tend to the garden. My parents right now are still in Mexico, and so it's just my sister by herself, and she can't obviously, you know, harvest and tend to the whole garden, and so it's been nice for me to be there. And I share this because in the last month or two, there's been so many rose bushes in my mother's garden that are blooming. And every time I go and I see her rose bushes, even when they're not flowering, I always think back to this really wonderful photograph that I have of my mother and I. I don't remember doing this with her. I was still really young. But I remember seeing the photograph at a really young age and asking my mother about it. So I'll describe the photograph first. So mind you, the house that they currently live in is the house that I grew up in, and I'm about to turn 33. So they've had that house for a little over than 33 years. And so that's how old those rose bushes are. And so the photograph. There's a few of them, maybe like 3 to 10 different ones. But there's a photograph of my mom holding me up as a toddler to her rose bushes, to the roses. And I'm sticking my tongue out and licking the petals. And it's just very sweet, you know, to be held by this person that birthed me and co-parented with my dad, to have her hold me up to these rose bushes, these roses, which she's very proud of, and enamored with. And she's doing it so that way I could drink the water that is falling down off of these petals. And sometimes she would do it after she had watered her garden, and I want to say maybe after it had rained. So I knew about this happening that would, you know, I knew about this since I was a kid, and it always felt really special. And before I even knew about flower essences, which I didn't know about flower essences until my late 20s, before I knew about flower essences, I thought about hummingbirds. And I thought about how hummingbirds obviously go for the sweetest things and the nectar. And when I also think about my mom, I think about hummingbirds because there was always some around her. And I think that was just because of her nature and of her presence in the garden. She was followed by bees and hummingbirds all the time. And so it was really cute for me to see those photographs. And I would think of myself as a hummingbird, as her hummingbird, as her having given birth to some being that has the spirit of a hummingbird. And so when I think about my origin story with plants, I don't actually use roses very much in my work, I guess in my practice, but I do use them a lot in my tea, and I love to put them in things that I make to eat, especially hot chocolate, or I put them in my baths. But I had never actually made medicine with them, I mean, aside from tea, which is still pretty powerful in and of itself. But as I had mentioned, I've been recently going to her garden, and on May 1st, which is May Day, and May is also my birth month, I was with my sister in the garden, and we were just sharing our thoughts about how beautiful my mother's flowers were and how he wished she could see them, and hoping that my dad can figure out how to open pictures on his cell phone so he can show these pictures of the garden to my mom. But I decided that day on May 1st, on May Day, to work with the roses in my mother's garden. And so I harvested a few, I gave them offerings, and I'm currently processing some. And even just the act of being next to the flowers, you know, gathering them, doing the offering, bringing them back home to the desert and processing them, you know, washing them, getting all the little buggies out and chopping them up. Even that whole process, I felt like my mom was with me the whole time. And I was learning a lot about the lineage of women and femmes in my family, and also just my own relationship to what I consider as beautiful and beauty, and the stages that any flower goes through in its lifetime. But in particular, as I was looking at the roses, you know, I gathered some that were, you know, budding, had just opened up, or maybe like about to start closing up because of the sun and how intense it has been. So I gathered all these flowers And, you know, they felt intergenerational, the ways that some of them looked and where they were at and the stages of their cycles. So that was all coming up for me while I was processing the roses, and it really struck me how much I still have to heal from my own relationship to sensuality. And so I'm really appreciative of this proposal, this ask, this prompt to think about plant origin stories, and I'm really glad that I've been able to make time for it and share my relationship to roses, because it's my relationship to my mom, and it's my relationship to all the femmes in my lineage, and it's one piece that I have now that helps me honor who I am and where I come from and who I come from. Thank you.
My name is Kara. I'm a folk herbalist in Oakland. My business is Chimaruta Remedies. And my plant origin story, I think, is more like a plant connection origin story. And I think that clearly all of that began, the seeds were planted when I was a child because plants were part of my life and I've always had relationships with plants, but I don't think I had really a connection with them when I was younger. And I think it began really when I was in my 20s, when I came out as a witch and I started really practicing that, but I still had a lot of disconnect. I wasn't fully in relationship with myself yet. I still had a lot of healing to do, and I still had a lot of health situations that I wasn't understanding. When I turned 30, I started getting really sick, like every 3 months throughout almost my entire 30s. And I was taking herbs at this time. I saw an acupuncturist regularly. I had seen an Ayurvedic doctor. I had a very basic understanding of all of these things, but they were not my ancestral medicines. But I definitely had a connection with herbal medicine. When I was 39 and I got really sick, I got a really bad ear infection, and I went through 3 rounds of antibiotics reluctantly. And after the third one didn't work, I read something about oregano oil, and I started taking oregano oil, and my earache pretty much went away immediately. And I became very dedicated to oregano oil, and I started carrying it around with me all the time. And anytime that I felt like my immune system was dropping, I would take it, and I didn't get sick. I wasn't getting sick. And a few months after that, I went to Italy, and I was in Calabria on my ancestral land, and I took some oregano oil, and I immediately realized and had this message of recognition that my cells recognized the oregano. And I had felt that before when I started taking it, but it really didn't fully come into understanding. I wasn't understanding it completely until I was on my ancestral land and I took it. And I realized that my cells were recognizing it because it was my ancestral medicine. And that was a big realization for me. And a few months after that, I had a very strong message, like really, really strong message from, I think, my bisnonna, my great-grandmother, or maybe some other ancestors too, but it was very specific, like, you're an herbalist, you need to study this right now, you need to practice your ancestral medicine right now, do it right now. So I immediately went to the computer and Googled ancestral medicine school, Oakland, or something like that. And Ancestral Apothecary came up immediately, and I realized that I live a couple blocks away from there. I never knew anything about it. I didn't know any of the teachers or anyone that had ever been to that school, but I saw that they were about to have a clinical herbalism program that was gonna start in like 2 months. And it was the Sesemana program. And I, even though I didn't know anything about it, I knew that I had to do it and that it was my path. So I signed up and I did it, and it was amazing, and it was the best thing I've ever done, of course, one of them at least. And I was so thankful that I had that message, because it was really like looking at myself in the mirror for the first time when I received that message that day. It was December 4th. And I saw myself for the first time and really began to go to another phase of my healing, which is still happening. Obviously, we're always in it. It's a spiral, but ancestral healing is layered. And so this was another layer of this. And it allowed me to really, the work that I'd been doing ancestral work for many, many years, but it really allowed me to understand clearly the path that I was on to do this ancestral work and healing. And that I needed to specifically work with the plants that my ancestors did to do this. And of course, the program that I went through was perfect for this. And I'm so grateful. And I'm so grateful to oregano, because oregano was really the catalyst plant. It wasn't the only plant, and it wasn't the first plant that I've had relationship with or that has helped me or that I have been in deep relationship with, but it's the plant that was the loudest in getting me to this place and bringing me to my path. So I'm so grateful to oregano for this.
My name is Iruka Maria Toro, and my plant story really begins on the island where I was born, the island of Puerto Rico, also known as Borinquen, and also known as La Isla del Encanto, which means the island of enchantment. And Puerto Rico is very enchanted. To me, it is this emerald green portal covered in rainforest, blooming flowers of all kinds, surrounded by ocean. And all of my ancestral history is contained in this place for generations and generations. And it feels very potent to have come through such a place when I was born, and to be embodied as a Caribbean woman in this lifetime. So my first plant memory, my first plant ally, is a plant called Morivivi, which means I died, I lived, I died, I lived. Morivivi is a type of mimosa, and it is sensitive to our touch. And so when we touch it, it will coil up and pretend to die. But if you sit with it long enough, it will begin to unfurl again and shine its body towards the sun once more. So for me, this is one of my first sensual experiences with nature. And also, it feels like this is this little angelic being whose embodiment holds so much wisdom. It says, you will die and be reborn many times in this lifetime and beyond. The story goes on forever. This is an in-breath. This is an out-breath. This is falling down and getting up again. Or maybe this is a mini version of Inanna going down into the underworld and coming back up as Queen of Heaven and Earth, Morning Star, Great Avatar of Venus. In this yard, there's also a beautiful banana tree, a fountain that my mother made herself and filled with tiny goldfish, and orchids in the trees. These orchids are my second most important plant ally from childhood, and in many ways, the orchids in the trees are my first experience of going to an art museum, of understanding that beauty is a form of medicine, and a powerful one at that, of this sense that there is another way to carry yourself that is different than the way that human beings carry themselves, which is to say there are other aesthetic ways of being and presenting that are non-heteronormative, non-binary, super queer, and beautiful. And I still hold orchids in this very high regard. They feel really strong in their embodiment, and I much rather carry myself that way and not really define myself by human aesthetics when possible. Much rather be a floral creature. And then the third great teacher of my childhood is the ocean, is the water that surrounded me. And I feel like that's a lesson that is still unfolding, because there's just so many things in my life that point me always back towards the water. I'm a Cancer Sun. I was born on an island. There's a strange twist of fate of carrying a name that means dolphin. And this medicine work, which has so much to do with water, both in the ways that medicine can be extracted in water, but also the work of making essences. Essences to me relate to another great childhood love of mine, which is whale song. And whale song is such a great teacher to me, and it also synchronistically shows up in my life at pivotal moments and saves me. Whale song is this invisible frequency that is carried in water, and it lasts there sometimes for years and layers with all the other songs of the waters and all of the other living beings that reside there. And we now know that water carries other frequencies of whatever it wants to. It's a very mystical substance, and you can imprint it with the energy of flowers and leaves and stones, of memories, of poignant places and things, and that the waters of our body will hold that resonance too. And in many ways, this is the most interesting work of my life, is to explore this this water magic and watch the ways that it has saved me and saved other people who I share that medicine work with. So my childhood journey comes to an end around the summer that I'm meant to begin the third grade. My family and I leave the island and our extended family behind and moved to Florida, to the United States. And that's my first experience of death and rebirth, of leaving something behind that you really, really don't want to leave behind, and beginning again in a new landscape with a new culture, new foods, and all new everything, learning how to speak English, being othered and treated as strange for a second until I figure out how to avoid that, as an adult figuring out why I wanted to avoid that to begin with. But anyways, I spend my teenage years there. It's really easy to make fun of Florida, and it was a strange experience, but there was also a lot of magic. There were thrift stores full of every single person who moved to Florida to retire's stuff, and that's pretty fun. You can come out of there looking pretty amazing for a couple of bucks, very orchid-like. You can go hear punk rock music at a strange club by the beach, and also get a cup of coffee by the weirdest record store, and you know, do all kinds of exploration. But around the time that I'm 21 years old, I move to upstate New York, and I move there in the middle of deep winter. And that following spring, I realize that there are many, many plant beings that I have not met, because I really only know tropical plants, and that there are plants that require the winter and the cold in order to blossom the following spring. And in many ways, I think I'm one of those plants too, because that was the year that I really started I started two of the most important practices that would come to define my life. One is the practice of making art every day, of having a very serious and rigorous painting practice. And the other is an equally serious and rigorous practice of learning herbalism and plant medicine from farmers, healers, weirdos in the hills of upstate New York, who, of which there are many, and thank God. And I just dove in very deeply into that work, learned how to care for myself and everyone around me. And also during that time, there was a great deal of ancestral and also very personal ceremonial and ritual work that started to come through that was very, very private and sacred to me. During that journey, which is about 15 years of my life, I exhibited paintings all over the world, but I kept the medicine work very personal and only shared it with private clients or dear friends. And in the last few years, something has started to happen due to a lot of exploration, travel, surrender, and transformation, where the practices of making art, having a personal ritual and ceremonial practice, and making herbal medicine, it's all started to converge, and it's all started to become less shy about existing, and I've started to share it with the wider world. And this has been a really, really beautiful experience for me. I'm always really humbled by the plants and what they do, how powerful they are, and to be a conduit for all of these threads to come together and be able to reach people is really one of the great honors of my life. It's something that feels very, very personal and very, very deeply tied to my innermost magic.
Listening to the Rise Up Good Witch podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and review in iTunes and check out www.riseupgoodwitch.com for more information about tarot readings and the apothecary.